everybody, and welcome to Real Talk with Nick and Jeremy. We're just two insignificant views on film and the movie industry. Welcome to the most magnificent show your ears will experience. A show that will defy odds, bring down the cheers of many. Stop me at any point, Doug.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I thought you were on a roll. I thought you had this one going really good this time.
Welcome to episode 14 of Real Talk. I am your host, Jeremy. I am with my co-host, Mr. Doug.
Yep, Mr. Doug. That is me.
We have, he actually went over to the UK recently, and he got knighted, so we call him Mr. Doug now.
That would not even make sense. That would be a sir, not a mister.
Well, there's different levels of knighting and knighthood, sir.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Have you, I mean, obviously you haven't done your research.
Obviously not.
Because no, I don't. You are a mister, and mister comes before sir in the knighthood rankings.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I've, listen, I read it on the internet.
Then it's obviously true. I'm sorry for doubting you.
Thank you. How you been, man?
I've been all right.
How was your week?
You know, it hasn't. This is a conversation maybe not meant for the podcast, but it wasn't exactly a great week.
Okay, well, I'm going to turn your frown upside down because tonight's show is going to be nothing but love, happiness, and joy.
All right.
I've already made your night, see?
Off to a great start.
For real. Okay, so my week was pretty cool. You can ask me if you want.
How was your week, Jeremy?
Dude, I would love to tell you.
Oh my god, I want to know all about it.
I went and saw three Batmobiles from three separate generations.
That's awesome. I saw the picture on your Facebook page.
I did a panoramic.
Yeah.
Didn't it look cool?
It did.
I saw the 1960s Batmobile, which of course is from Adam West, his era.
Adam West.
And then I saw the 1989 Batmobile, which...
Tim Burton?
The Tim Burton Batmobile. And then I saw the... What year? Would you say 2004? 2000?
No, 2007.
2007? Okay.
I don't know. We have the internet at our disposal.
So, I saw the Tumblr.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, the Tumblr I've seen many times before, but this was actually a different version because it had lights on it. So, I think it was the actual movie-driven one when they used it at nighttime.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the other ones were the stunt ones that I saw.
Yeah.
So it was very cool. But I saw that at the Dallas...
Oh, Batman Begins was 2005.
Oh, I was pretty close.
Yeah, I was thinking I was out of... Well, I definitely was out of high school. It just feels like it was...
Eons ago?
Way before then, yeah. Or way after that. I mean, it feels like it was 2007 or so, not that
late.
Yeah,
time flies, man. When you're making movies, I mean, what we're looking at 2 to 3 years for a movie to be made.
Yeah,
so
it's insane.
Three movies, yeah, it's a span of like 10 years.
That's insane. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, I went and did that, got some cool pictures and stuff like that, and I got a free T-shirt.
You did.
How can you turn down a free T-shirt?
What was the T-shirt?
It's a Chevy T-shirt. It's like a Chevy performance one. You put in your email address. I used a fake one. And after that, they give you a free shirt.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you say that we head on over to the news desk where we are going to take some movie news? So what do you say?
That sounds like a great idea.
Awesome. Let's do it. That works for me, man. Okay, so what I want to do is I wish that we were video, so that way we can have like a backsplash and then like a picture, kind of like how they do on regular news stations, and be like, this just right. In, David Fincher's 2000 Leagues Under the Sea could move forward in Australia. Brad Pitt is not set to star. Why is there no reaction to that?
I was reading something else on the IMDb homepage.
I am got distracted important. By myself. We're reading the news, dude.
I know. It's a news story on the front page. Apparently someone died.
Wow.
No one I know.
Do we need to... Okay, you know what, man? If this isn't as important for you as it is for me, we could just stop. I mean...
Just start it over again. You were doing a good job.
No, we're going from there. I'm not redoing it. Okay, so...
Okay, so David Fincher.
So David Fincher is... He has been attached to this movie. Do you think that it'd be a good movie to redo?
Yeah. I mean, it's been long enough. I feel that we could probably get a good one. And then, you know, with David Fincher attached as director, it could be interesting. It'd definitely be interesting to see what he does.
And they say that Pitt has not signed on, but that doesn't entirely rule out the possibility that he may join it, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, how can you sign on to a movie that's been postponed and put off for, like, 5 years, you know?
Very
like,
true.
So maybe if, you know, they're saying that, you know, Australia's like, please come to our country and film.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, I think it says here that, you know, if it goes through, they may be starting in the next... like year or so,
and that'd be cool.
Yeah, and so if that happens, then well, then they're obviously going to start signing people, and then we may see Brad Pitt finally commit to being in it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, very cool, very neat. So, director Sam Mendes. Oh wait, should I do this in my should I do this in the TV broadcast voice?
Sure.
I mean, why not keep it going, right?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Director Sam Mendes likely to commit to Bond 24.
It's good. I like it. I like where this is going.
So we got, I mean, these things will never end. These things are going to continue to go and go. Does it matter what director's doing it? Did you like the new one?
Oh man, I didn't see it. I have not seen it yet.
Okay, well, I saw the Skyfall and it was pretty dope.
I've heard great things about it. I know I need to see it. It's on my to see list. And I'm excited to see it, but I haven't yet because I've just been busy.
Well, the news comes from the Daily Mail's Baz Bamahoy. Can't pronounce it. But according to one of his sources, there's a 75% chance that Mendes will commit. So, pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
I mean, he did a really great job. It was my favorite Bond of recent memory, so he did a great job.
That's cool. I mean, they're saying that you know, they want to get it out as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
he wants, he wants out of his contract anyway, so.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if this will be the last one. I mean, they're saying that 24 and 25 will be standalone installments.
Hmm. I thought they were going to continue the storyline.
Well, see, it says that it was initially supposed to be 24 and 25 as two parts of the same story, but. And it goes on to say the idea's been scrapped.
Well,
and they'll be... I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, that... What's his face? What's out? Daniel Craig doesn't want to be Bond anymore. But then Skyfall just fucking blew up in his face.
Yeah, it's just been huge. So we'll see, you know? Who knows?
Maybe one more.
Maybe. But rumor has it that Harrison Ford will return as Han Solo in Episode 7.
I was really, really excited when they announced this on Friday, or at least that the rumor dropped.
Mm-hmm. I am open to that, 100%.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, we talked about this just the other day, about just how important he is to the Star Wars franchise. And I think it's a good move. Unfortunately, this article does go on to say that the person who broke the story does say that his sources say that it will not be confirmed for weeks or perhaps months,
but
whether
this...
or not he's officially in it. But he hasn't come out outright and said, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Disney hasn't come out right and said he's not doing it. But I think it's a good move on Disney's part to get him involved in the movie. Because with Han... Okay, Harrison Ford has not... He hates Star Wars and he hates Han Solo. Like, he hasn't been shy about it at all. Like, he doesn't like the movies. He thought that they were boring and lame.
Wow, but he's up to... why would he want to redo the park, then?
I don't know. I don't know if Disney offered him a huge chunk of change, or if maybe it's one of those, like, you give the fans what they want sort of things. Like, you know, he's got to realize that he's old.
Okay, now, for the movie that I saw this week, kind of ties into what I'm about to say. Do you think that an older star, you know, once that star gets older, is his performance going to match the same character and personality that he played before? Now, the reason why I asked that is because I just saw the new Die Hard movie.
Die Hard. Yeah.
And I don't think that it's... I'm scared of it because it's not... I don't see it in the new Die Hards, and I'm so I'm kind of scared to see him reprise that role because I'm scared of him not living up to my expectations.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair thing to be worried about. I mean...
What if he just blows through the lines, you know? I mean,
it's possible, but at the same time, you know, if he is going to come back, then there's got to be something that's pulling him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read things where people, you know, cuz he did the first movie, he enjoyed working on the first movie, and the second one he felt that George Lucas was more worried about the toy sales and stuff than he was about the character development.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that, like, on set, he was dedicated and he was into it and he was throwing in his input about what he thought his character should do and all this stuff. So he was, like, really involved. But when they left the set and he was away from the movie, then he was kind of like, this movie's stupid. This character's stupid. It's bland. Like, but then when he went back for Return of the Jedi, once again, he was back involved and he was, you know... So he gets involved in his characters. I just think that when he steps away from it, he's just like,
okay,
this is lame. And... one of the reasons why people were saying that is that he went and did Blade Runner, and that after doing Blade Runner, he was like, man, Star Wars is dumb.
Wow, because it's like Blade Runner's grown up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so he just felt that the difference between the two... Hmm. Anyway, that's all what people, you know, past interviews and stuff with people that have worked on set and stuff, that's what they've said. But I think it's smart for them to get him, because if they bring him onto the movies, then... pretty much Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Peter Mayhew, Kenny Baker, Anthony Dan, none of them have excuses not to be in the
exactly
movie.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, and they can, you know...
And Mark Hamill, I mean, he's still... I think out of all of them, he probably, you know, because he's got that baby face, he still looks a little young-ish. Like, he can still pull it off.
With makeup, the way that we've, you know, advanced in, like, makeup, like, prosthetics and stuff that they've done in movies, I mean, they can make him look younger. I mean, we've talked about this before. Look what they did in Tron Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I mean, they can make him look younger if they needed to.
Yeah.
Again, I think there's a great timeline where this movie could take place 30 years later. All these characters, or all the actors are the same age as their characters.
Oh, yeah.
Would be. I don't know if they're going to do that. I know that some of the people have talked about they want to do their own stuff. But... that being said, by getting him, even if they are just bit characters, like, not necessarily bit characters, but we just see them not as much and they focus more on the kids, mm-hmm, of these characters, that's great. But having him pretty much solidifies that we're going to see almost all the original cast, because if you get Han Solo, then you can get Luke Skywalker and you can get Princess Leia.
Definitely.
So that's why I think it's a smart move, and it's smart because... that makes us happy. Us, you know, the people that have grown up with these movies, and it matters if Harrison Ford plays Han Solo.
I cannot argue any of the points you just made.
So, I think it's a great move, and hopefully it turns out to be true.
Awesome. So. Well, Mark Webb has Mark Webb tweets the first glimpse at the mask of the Amazing Spider-Man 2. You know, I think I sound like, what's his name from the radio show, like the top 40.
Casey Kasem.
Hello, friends. Now it's
that's exactly what you sound like.
I see this. I saw just the glimpse of the mask. It really reminds me of they're changing the style a little bit to, they've pushed in the sides. It doesn't go out as far to the sides where his ears would be. And it looks more comic bookish. What do you think?
Okay.
It kind of looks like hipster sunglasses.
I'm just making sure that I'm. It's, which picture is it?
It's the picture with
it's just the eye.
Yeah, it's just
right?
The eye.
See, that's so, like, because I don't know what it looks like. It's just the eye.
Right,
like,
but if you look at, okay, but compared to the last movie, and then, of course, the beginning series, like the original trilogy, I like how everything gets referred to as the trilogy now. But it's more, the other ones were more like triangles almost, you know, kind of curved triangles. Mm-hmm. And this one is more like a hipster eyeglasses. And kind of looks, it's more comic-y, you know, it's definitely early Spider-Man-ish from the comics.
I will agree, looking at that picture right there, but it, you know, unfortunately, like I said, it's one of those, there's a side-by-side picture on this article that we're looking at, on Slash Film, and you can see the similarities between the two, but like, seriously, you turn that one on a 45-degree angle, and it doesn't look that much different than the one that's in the other picture. I mean, it's definitely thicker,
it's
and
definitely
I will say...
thicker and wider.
Yeah. And it kind of does look like a Wayfarer, like with the sunglasses, is kind of what it looks like. But at the same time, you know, it's on its side. When you turn that up, like how it will be on the head, we will see a difference, and I agree. But unfortunately, that's all we're seeing. So, like, I can't... What does it look like in comparison to the rest of his head?
Yeah, I know. I guess, well, I mean, it's just one of the... it's something to get us excited, you know?
Oh, and I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Nerds. So, moving on with some little bit of comic book news. Dwayne Johnson won't be Lobo after all, and the ladies all go crazy.
What will they though? I don't know if the ladies would go crazy.
Top 40 Radio. Does it matter?
Yes and no. He might have actually pulled this character off pretty well. Mm-hmm. What would he have? Would it have been a Lobo standalone movie, or would he have been in something else?
It has been about. There's talks about it in. I don't know. Ever since this, it may have been a standalone, but there may have also been some tie-ins to the Justice League. But I mean, it's everything's fallen apart ever since DC has said that Justice League is back to square one. So everything that's a part of my rant, and we'll get into that, but just how they can't get their stuff together when it comes to these comic book movies.
Yeah, and that's why they're. I mean, we've had some really great ones from them, like with the Dark Knight series, and I think we'll see something cool come out of Superman. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I mean, Marvel's kicking their butts up and down the field.
Let's save it.
Okay. Yep. But yeah, I would have been excited to see a Lobo movie. I actually probably would have liked Dwayne Johnson to play him. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been a cool character for him. It would have been a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, look at him. He goes
while being the same, but at the same time,
I mean, he's a badass. Because look, I mean, you look at his latest commercial, and look how awesome he is just going to get milk.
Yeah,
I mean, he's getting milk, and he's like, "Yeah, got your milk," and then he just punches a bad guy.
Yeah,
I can't pull that off. How do you look when you go get milk?
Just like a fat dude in a grocery store.
Thank you. Me too. It's like, oh, he's just getting milk. But the Rock is like, oh, he's jumping cars and ships, and don't worry about the alien invasion. No one does it better. Milk does a body good.
Yeah, obviously. Maybe I should drink more milk, and then I'll look like the Rock. And chocolate, then I could be Lobo.
Chocolate milk. Tastes great.
It does.
You ever have strawberry milk, Doug?
I'm not a fan.
I like it.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Are you a 2%er? Or are you a vitamin D guy? I mean, what's going on?
2% all the way.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
Yep.
This
is good stuff.
This segment was brought to you by milk. It does a body good. So the screenplay for The Hunger Games... Mockingjay 1 is complete. Part 2 is now underway.
Yeah, I like this whole let's split everything into two movies in the final chapter. It was ridiculous.
I think, well, the book is bigger than the other two.
Yeah, but not by much. Not.
I know, it's like it's not that much, but it does cover... Okay, this is a spoiler alert in case anybody has not read the books. And so you may want to fast forward for maybe 2 minutes. But the third book covers a big, giant war.
That's true.
So you technically, with action shots, you could split that book into two parts.
I suppose.
but you're not a fan.
I just think that with, you know, the Harry Potter,
I mean, that was a fiasco. That was dumb.
Was split into two. But see, that one makes sense because that book is like 4,000 pages.
Yeah, but the
whole
first part, I mean, the whole first movie was them in the friggin' woods.
Yep, and that's exactly how the book was too, and that's how everyone called it. They're like, okay, so movie one is camping, and then movie two is
I mean, you
fighting.
Could essentially just go from the last movie to and skip part one and just go to part two, and just, it doesn't matter. Like, you're like, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, this is it.
But, you know, so they did that. They did the two-parters, and then, you know, like, was Twilight, the last one, they did it as well. And that's another one where it's like, you don't have enough to make that two movies.
Right.
Nor should anyone care.
Right. Enough. I think that there's a good chance that Mockingjay can benefit from it, just because of the war scenes.
I think that there's a couple of movies that could really benefit from having longer, either, you know, obviously no one wants to sit through a six-hour movie, but some movies they need to have that six-hour time slot, because there's so much.
I mean, you could
to cover,
could.
And this is one of them. So I understand why they split it into two, but I feel that had Harry Potter not done it first, they wouldn't be doing it.
Probably not, because I mean, it's a good way to make more money.
Absolutely.
So I'm not a fan.
Like, I'm not like disappointed or whatever. I will go see this. I would rather be reading more news about Catching Fire.
True.
Than I would.
That's true.
About, you know, oh, yeah, they finished the script for part one. Like, great. That movie's not going to come out for another year.
I know. But there's, you know, there's nothing to, there's, they're not talking about Catching Fire because they're kind of under wraps about it right now and they're still filming. Yeah, but there has been a couple pictures coming out. I do have to say the Catching Fire suits, they all look the same. I don't know how I feel about that because there's not really any personality in the suits.
Yep.
So I'm not a fan of that. But I'm sure there's a reason for it. But moving on, Jason Momoa. Is that how you pronounce his name? Momoa. We'll go with Momoa. Jason Momoa offered lead role in the Marvel's Guardian of the Galaxy.
We've talked about this before. I don't really know a whole lot about...
I don't either, but I just want to bring up a point that it looks like there is a killer jackrabbit or a killer squirrel or a killer raccoon, and I hope he's the voice of it.
Nope. They've already said who he's going to play, and it's definitely not him.
Well, I just wanted to... I was hoping.
Remember we read the thing where I think they said like Adam Sandler.
It was going to be like a comedy, all, you know, Jim Carrey and.
Yeah, it'll probably be one of them doing. He's supposed to play. Who did they say he was going to play? They said it. Drax the Destroyer and Guardians of the Galaxy.
And if any of our listeners know who that is, please let us know because we definitely don't.
Now, see, I like this actor. I know him from Game of Thrones where he plays Khal Drogo.
Khal Drogo.
Yeah. He would be pretty awesome. Based on the picture alone that they're showing of this guy, if he's that character, he could be pretty cool.
I'm in for it.
Yeah. Plus, you know, I think we talked about... have we talked about it? Have we had a show since that happened, that news came out?
Which one?
About Chris Platt? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we talked about it on the last show.
Did we?
Yeah, I think we covered that.
I don't know if we did because we had.
Yes, we did because we talked about how he was in Parks and Rec, and then you talked. And then you said that he was in the new. Yeah, we talked about that.
And I don't remember if we did, but if you say so, it's been a while.
Maybe we haven't. I don't know. Maybe it was a conversation I had with somebody else.
It may have been a conversation that we had on Twitter or something.
It could have been.
I don't know. I feel like. Oh man, I feel like that happened like the day after our last show, and then because last week we did the Star Wars one.
Give our listeners a little rundown.
Okay, I think his name is Chris Platt. I can't remember.
Pratt. I think it's Pratt.
Pratt. You're right. It is Chris Pratt. I'm looking. There it is. He was. I think he's going to play the lead Star Lord in this Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's the one that was in Zero Dark Thirty. He's in Parks and Rec. He is super funny, so I'm really excited to see him in this movie because. He's funny.
Oh yeah, I like him. I like him a lot.
I watched an interview with him recently. And if you watch Parks and Rec, he's kind of, well, one, he's dumb. His character is just like an idiot. Mm-hmm. But he's also kind of like a slob and fat. And I was watching this interview and they were talking with him because he had to go through all this training to be in Zero Dark 30. And he had like a picture that he had taken like in his mirror. The dude is ripped.
Really?
And it's so weird to watch on, yeah, he's like super fit. And so it's really weird watching him on Parks and Rec because it's like, he has like a belly and stuff. And it's like, I mean, you're fit. Like, you're in shape. Is that fake or is this filmed before?
You know what? I just saw the picture as well. I'm just looking at it right now. He is definitely ripped.
Dude is in shape.
For real. And then he's like, well, I gotta go back to being fat for Parks and Rec.
Yeah, so I don't know if he has like a, you know, like a pillow stuffed in his shirt or what, because it's like,
well, his face went back to being chubby, so I don't know.
I don't understand what happened. I don't get it. Because he's also married to like Anna Faris. Anna Faris, however you say her name, the comedian.
No!
Comedian?
Yeah. No, she was mine.
Not anymore.
That's it. I'm going after him. Chris, I'm coming after you.
So anyways, I'm starting to get interested in this movie. Like I said, I don't really know anything about Guardians of the Galaxy. But with these two people announced to be in it, I'm getting
more and more excited. Me too.
Yeah.
Well, let's take our guns out. What are you carrying today? What do you got? A side piece? You got a bazooka? You got what are you carrying?
I've got a 50 cal.
Okay. And I've got a rocket launcher. So let's hit up the box office battlefield.
All right. I should have said like a lightsaber.
You should have. Yeah, you should have. That
obvious.
So coming in at number 5, we have Warm Bodies.
Warm Bodies.
It made 9 million in a total of 50 million. So that's pretty good because, I mean, I think the movie cost around 50 million, so they could be turning a profit.
Yeah.
Another movie came in at number 4, and it was called Escape from Planet Earth, and that made 16.1 million. Very surprised by this because it's a kids' movie. I don't think it was marketed correctly.
I did not see anything about it. The only thing I've ever seen about it was when I went to go see Warm Bodies, there was a poster. That's the only thing
I saw a
thing
trailer
about
on because my son watches Ninja Turtles and we're on Nickelodeon, so I saw the trailer for it. It looks hilarious. I thought this was going to beat out our number one movie, but it didn't. So,
man, that's a shame.
Yeah, number 3 is Safe Haven, making 21 million and for a total of 30 million. Not really interested in that one.
What is it? I don't even know what
it is. I don't think the world knows what it is.
What?
Oh, this is what it is. Okay, this is you can pretty much call it the sequel to The Notebook. It's written by the same guy, and it's pretty much the same premise.
Then I don't have any cares.
Number 2 is Identity Thief, which...
Oh, man, I heard this movie was terrible.
And which made $23.4 million for a total of $70 million. I really wanted to see it. I had high hopes.
Yeah, I've heard not good things.
And then number 1, A Good Day to Die Hard. $25 million for a total of $33 million in its first week.
See, I wanted to... That's what I wanted to see.
I saw that one.
I know we're going to talk about it here in a bit, and I'm excited. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's... So we're done... you putting your sidearm away, your 50 cal? You done shooting?
Yeah, it'll go away.
All right, put it in your backpack, because I don't want it going off when we're about to do this next thing.
The safety's on.
All right, the safety's on, but our mouths are off when we about to sing about the who dat.
Who dat? What was that?
I don't know what that was. But our Who Dat of the Week is Alan Covert. You may know him as the sidekick, a silly sidekick in every single Adam Sandler movie ever made.
Pretty much.
He did have a standalone film that I watched almost every day in my 20s. Grandma's Boy.
Hell yeah.
Are you a fan of that movie?
I am.
Oh, I watched it almost every day. Everyone loved it. I laughed so hard.
It was so funny. I think one of my favorite parts of that movie is when their boss, like the weird, eccentric, like programming genius guy, is dressed all in black and is up against the wall. And
they're
like, "Hey, dude."
Yeah.
And he's like, "How did they see me?
How did they see me?"
So funny.
And I loved I loved it when the, what was it, the DDR challenge? That was hilarious. I think it's the only gamer movie that really captures a gamer's mind.
It's so funny.
Is. It's really great. So he's been in anything. I mean, we could just name it all off here. Paul Blart, Bedtime Stories, Jack and Jill, Hotel Transylvania, Grown Ups 2 he's going to be in.
Little Nicky, Mr. Deeds, Anger Management, 51st Date, The Longest Yard. Pretty much if Adam Sandler's in it, so is he.
He's pretty much Adam Sandler's best friend.
And I mean, Big Daddy, Never Been Kissed, The Waterboy, The Wedding Singer.
I'm really surprised that he never branched out and became bigger than he is because of the fact that he's actually a good actor.
Yeah, he's funny.
He's really funny, and he's a great actor. I don't know if he just chooses to be behind the scenes with Adam, and he's just, you know, hanging out, and he's like, I'll do it because it's fun. But he's got 15 producer titles. He's even got executive producers on Jack and Jill. Go with it. He's an executive producer, Grown Ups. I mean, so he works, you know. But it's not somebody that you would normally regularly see in front of the camera and go, oh, you know, it's not a name that you know, but as soon as you see it, it's like, oh, that guy.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but if you have the chance, look him up on IMDb and go check out one of his films. I'm sure you already have. So, you ready to talk about a movie that we saw this week?
Sure.
All right, let's head on over to What Are You Watching? And the shades are being pulled. The lights are coming down. The screen is growing bright. The movie's gonna start. And we are right here. And we got our popcorn. And we going sippy sippy in a cup because it's good.
All right.
What happened? What happened?
I don't know. You were just on a roll.
What happened?
So what did you watch this week?
Did you watch anything?
I did not.
Mm.
No, but since the last time we talked, I have watched some movies. But I did not watch anything in the past week.
Okay, so I went to go see A Good Day to Die Hard.
How was it?
If you do not know the premise, it's John McClane travels to Russia to help his seamlessly wayward son, Jack, only to discover that Jack is a CIA operative working to prevent a nuclear weapons heist, causing the father and son to team up against the underworld forces. On my IMDb score, I gave it a 5 out of 10. Mm. It is the, to me personally, it is the weakest of the series.
Oh.
It was not a Die Hard movie. I can tell you that. The story was pretty flimsy in spots. Bruce Willis playing, of course, John McClane, he was kind of a pansy. He almost played sidekick to his son, and his son, and the dialogue was really sketchy, and it's just like John McClane keeps on going, I'm on vacation. Like, it was funny the first time he said it, but then like 18 times later, you're like, all right, we get it. You're on vacation. The yippee-ki-yay mother came in at the wrong place. It was forced. It wasn't even when he was taking out the bad guy. There was this end scene, which was incredible cinematography. I mean, incredible. I'll try not to ruin it for you. But it was involved a helicopter. And it was, you know, like this chick is trying to destroy them and doesn't even like aim for them. It's like she's off. And it felt like they did it just to get this cool shot. And it seems like a setup for this new guy to be the new John McClane, a la 007.
See, I wonder if that's what, when you said that you felt like he was playing sidekick to his son, I was going to say, I wonder if maybe that's the way they're going to go now.
I think they are. And this is, see, the problem is that it just, he's just like, he kept on saying like, my boy's going to tear you up, you know, like, and he kept on, and he's like, he's like asking his son, he's like, you need a hug? And the son's like, you know, it's almost like they tried to make the son more badass than John McClane because of the fact that his son's like, we're not a hugging family, remember? You know, I mean, like, like it just didn't come across as, I mean, okay, don't get me wrong, it was an incredible action movie. Incredible. Yeah. I mean, from beginning to end, it's action-packed. But it was an action movie that starred Bruce Willis. It was not a Die Hard movie.
Okay. There you go. I think that's probably a good summary of what to expect from this movie.
Yeah, it really is. So that's what I thought of it. Is it a must-see in the theater? No. Is it a rental? Definitely. If you have $7 to spare and you don't have anything else to do, then go see it in the movie, in the theater. But I think it's a wait for me.
All right.
So, don't mean to disappoint you.
I'll get over it.
you didn't see too many things. What did you see?
I did not go to the theater.
Okay.
Just again, like I said earlier, it's been one of those weeks where I just have not had the time.
Mm-hmm.
But last weekend with Nick being in town, he and I watched Machete.
Ooh.
Which was a terribly awesome movie. and by that I mean it was terrible and awesome.
Okay.
I mean it's a grindhouse movie, so it just looks cheesy and it was just a fun movie. It was just fun.
Well, that, you know, listen, you can't judge those movies. You got to judge them for what they are, and it's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what they were going, that's what they were going for, because, you know, it's Robert Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, he's made some great movies. And so, you know, and Machete came from a trailer that was in the Grindhouse movie.
Yeah, it was
when that came out.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was just a little little fake trailer that people were like, oh my god, you have to make this. And so they were like, all right, let's do it. and it was cheesy and terrible dialogue and terrible soundtrack and gritty looking. And it was just amazing. It was so much fun. Like, it was everything that it needed to be. And it was great. I liked it a lot.
Awesome.
And they're making a sequel and possibly a third one after that. So
that's awesome.
So it was fun. And then we watched Looper, which was also amazing.
Of course, we have covered Looper so much on this show.
Yeah, so,
but it was. I mean, it deserves the praise because it is really good.
Yeah, and that movie made me. I know we've talked about it. We talked about it last week when we did our Star Wars thing. Whenever that gets up again online, and I know I think I mentioned this then. That movie made me realize, like, I don't want anyone else to play Han Solo if they do a young Han Solo movie, because Han Solo is supposed to be around 29 in A New Hope. So if you make him too much younger, then he's a teenager and then he's not a smuggler. So then his story is not important to me. You know, it's like, I don't care. And then if you make him if he's in his 20s, well then at that point, why is he a different person? You know, like,
right.
However, back to how Looper ties into this. Looper, with the makeup and the work that that he did, that Joseph Gordon-Levitt did to mimic Bruce Willis, if they were to take that method and that makeup technique to make him look like him, and they applied it to Joseph Gordon-Levitt to be Han Solo, I would be all for it.
Oh, that it would be really cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like, so if they had Han Solo, if they had Harrison Ford record all of the Han Solo lines, and then they play it, you know, and he sat there and he listened to it and he memorized how Harrison Ford would say the line, and then he delivered it that way, like he did in Looper. I'm sold. That is the only way you'll sell me on a live action movie.
I'm down.
Yeah. So Looper was good, and like I said, it sold me on that aspect of things. And like you said, you've talked about Looper 1,000 times. It's a great movie.
Yeah. So that's what we watched this week. Take our advice. Don't take our advice. We're just two guys with insignificant views on film. So what we got next is we're going to get a little angry. Are you ready to get angry? A little angry, Doug?
I am.
Because we have a hot topic this week.
We do, and I'm glad that you brought this one up.
Well, let's head on over. We actually built a rant room. It is sealed. There's no air conditioning. There's heat being pumped into it at all times, so that way we get all hot and sweaty. And that is going to even enrage us more because we want out of the booth. We call it the sauna, but we call it the rant sauna. And let's head on over to the rant sauna. The rant sauna Donna. But, bam.
Just stop trying to rhyme things.
Sorry. I was on a roll before. I just thought I could get going again.
No.
It didn't work this time.
Don't make me mad before okay. We get into the sauna. Bobana.
That was the door shutting.
Was it?
Okay. It's an old door. Anyways. Okay, so in the rant this week, we are talking about a very geeky topic. And you know what people have said in the comments, my wife has said it and everything. Your guys' show is really geeky. I'm sorry, but that's the movies that are coming out. And that's what generally we like to talk about.
Yeah.
If you don't like to talk about it or hear about it, there's a ton of other podcasts that go real dramatic.
Yeah, Ashley.
Booyah.
Booyakasha.
So, in the rant, we're talking about DC and Warner Brothers and how they can't get their crap together to create a universe like Marvel has.
Yep.
Marvel has laid the groundwork for DC. DC doesn't have to do anything other than copy the formula. And what's the formula? Lead in with a great base, which a la was Batman. It's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And follow it up with another second layer base, which is a la Superman, which is coming out, and it looks like it's going to do the same thing.
Yep.
And now you can start working in your other character movies. You can start laying the groundwork for your Justice League. But as soon as we get to a point to where we think we're going good with these characters, because there were talks of doing a Flash movie, a Wonder Woman movie. There's talks of all of these different characters coming together. It all falls apart.
Yep.
It all falls apart. The only thing we're left with right now is a Superman movie. That's it. The Flash movie can't get off the ground. Now they're talking about the Wonder Woman movie just becoming another TV series, but that got killed. There is the script has been killed for the Justice League movie. What else has happened?
I don't know. They just can't get their act together. I mean, like we talked about before, like Lobo's now not going to happen.
Yeah, now that's not going to happen. While it's amazing to me because now what you're seeing from on the Marvel side is they're running through their stable. Like they've already run through the stable of A comic books, right? And now they're moving to B. They're putting out Ant-Man. They're putting out the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's incredible to me that DC can't even make it through their biggest names. How does it happen, Doug?
I have no idea.
I want to know the person running Warner Brothers, what has to go through your mind to not be like, to think like, wow, you know what? Let's just, we can't do this. Like, I don't get it. Like me, I don't get it because as a fan, I'm like, it's the formula is there. The formula is there. And they do such great things with the properties that they have. Look what they did with Harry Potter. Look what they have done with Batman. I mean, they know what they're doing, obviously, in making movies, but why can't... DC, for some reason, is their black horse.
I think that's what it is. I think DC is actually the problem. And, you know, you can say, well, why has Batman done so well? Well, why has Batman done so well ever? Because he's a great character. Same thing with Superman. You know, why has Superman lasted so long? Because he's the original superhero.
Mm-hmm.
More or less. I'm sure there's probably some before him. But he's the one that America just clinged on to. And that's great. But, you know, you look at the Green Lantern, you look at Flash, Martian Manhunter, all those that are part of the Justice League, while they are good characters in the group, the Green Lantern movie that came out with Ryan Reynolds was not that good.
It wasn't.
And it's a shame because he was perfect for that role. Like, I mean, he was good. The only other person I would have casted would have been Nathan Fillion.
I think they made a mistake with the suit going all CG.
Agreed.
I think that they made a mistake with the storyline. And I think they made a mistake with all of the like the race car thing was so dumb.
Yeah. I mean, and he does that crap in the comics and blah, 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 whatever. But I mean, like, they're just not as solid as, of characters as Marvel. I think Marvel just has, has always had
Doug,
better characters and better writing.
Well, here's the thing, Doug. The Iron Man wasn't even their lead character. It was Iron Man was a B-level comic book character. It's been well documented. And so they brought that movie out and made him an A-list character. It's now true. He's one of the most beloved Marvel characters out there.
I'll agree to that. And again, it's just they took a character that, you know, like you said, it was kind of a B-list, but he had things about him that made him real. You know, in the comics, he is an alcoholic and he is a douchebag. And who did they hire? They got Robert Downey Jr., an alcoholic and a douchebag. So you got a guy who's essentially playing himself in a movie, and that's what made it so good, is because you watch him do that, and that's one of the most like real performances out of him ever, because it's just like, wow, dude, man. Like, he was not acting. He's being himself.
Right.
Like,
and, I mean, that's very true. I think that, though, with you made a good point with the Green Lantern argument here, but I think that he did portray that character really well.
I
think that if they chose a different path with the abilities and the story that they told, because they tried to tell the entire story of the Green Lantern instead of making it personal and real.
I agree.
They went like, let's go to outer space in the first movie. You know, like they didn't need to tell that whole giant backstory in the first 20 minutes of the film. Like they should have focused on him. That's my biggest thing, is that I think the story was really weak.
I agree. I thought that it could have been a great movie. Again, I thought that that Ryan Reynolds was a good choice for the movie.
And like when he recited Green Lantern's
like the oath.
Yeah, the oath. Like he delivered it with a lot of power, and it was good.
Yeah. But I agree. I think they tried to do too much with that movie. It should have just been like Batman Begins. It should have just been an origin story. We should have like minor little bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not. I mean, they went really. The scope was way too big.
It
for that
was,
movie.
And unfortunately, like that's what kind of killed that movie.
Yeah, because I mean, you start off with a small villain, and then you build up to that giant. By the third movie, you have this really giant scope.
Exactly. And they brought in like this ridiculous bad guy in the first movie. It limited them, because then it's like, well, after that, what the hell are you gonna do? You just fought
fear. Let's see, we've already gone all the way to space. Like we went to another galaxy. We have brought in a guy who will fear engulfs in some weird toxic goo around the city. And what do we got left?
Yeah, nothing.
And I got we turned him into a car. His ring turned everything into a car. Let's do that again.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you can argue, well, in the Avengers, you know, they had aliens from space come in and they destroyed New York City.
But we're five movies in.
Yeah, exactly.
Six movies in.
Exactly. Like, what is, I mean, everything that led up to that point, you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
Everyone fought things. You know, Iron Man, he fought his, like, boss.
In the first movie, yeah, in the first movie, he fights normal people to get out of a situation.
Yeah.
And then he goes and fights just a normal robot. We get the story. In the second one, guess what? It gets bigger. We have an army. And now in the third one, we have a badass character who has power in 10 rings. And he's like, I will bring down the Iron Man.
Yeah, so that's awesome. But yeah.
You build up.
And I think that's where DC fails, is that I think that they don't look at the grand scheme of things. I think they look at what they can get out of one movie. Whereas, in this case, Marvel with the Avengers has done something that I don't think everyone wanted to happen but never thought they could do, and I think that's how Warner Brothers and DC have viewed it, is that it was impossible. Now,
it was, I mean, there was a slim chance of making this work, because now you have so many intertwining stories.
Exactly. You know, we've got another Thor movie coming out, we've got Iron Man 3 coming out, we've got another Captain America, I don't know about the Hulk. You know, there's talks about a Black Widow and Hawkeye movie coming out, and all, you know, it's awesome. But, you know, there's a part of me that is like, that's a lot of movies before we even get to Avengers 2.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we're talking like 4 or 5 more years before we even hit Avengers 2.
Yeah, and that's insane.
They have, see, that's the thing. They have the broad, they have the big picture. They have the pinpoints on the wall that says, this is how we get from here to here, and this is how we get from here to here. We can't get to Avengers 2 until we hash out the story of all of these other characters. You know how we do that? With individual movies. And you know what? They're going to be great, and then they're all going to reconnect for the second movie. And it's not, I think that's the smart thing to do, because you're not overloading people with another Avengers movie. You know, people like to see the Avengers and they're like holding on to it and it's like, oh, it's amazing. But I also want to see the individuals go back at it, and they're doing that as well, and they're doing it well. And I just, like, that's what I'm going back to the DC thing without, you know, trying to stay focused without building Marvel up too much, is that DC has the blueprint in front of them.
Yeah, I think Chris Nolan did a good job of giving them a jump-off point. I think he gave them a perfect place to start.
And he's even producing the Superman movies.
Exactly. And, I mean, how easy would it be for them to pull a Marvel and at the end of the movie, at the end of the credits, to have Joseph Gordon-Levitt walk in and say something to Clark Kent and be like, hey, bro, we should totally team up.
Yeah, or something like...
Even if he's like, in, like, the Batman suit and he's just like... Hey, I'm the Batman. And they're like, hey, we should join a team. And like, boom, that's the end. And then everyone, like, heads explode. Like, we don't...
Like, it doesn't even have to be... Yeah, it doesn't even have to be any kind of, like, no story driven or anything like that. And just have them together in a room. Like, he walked... Even in the little short YouTube videos, they go into a diner together and they're sitting from across from each other.
Right, right. Like, in those, like, How It Should Have Ended videos where they have...
Yeah. That's what I'm talking... Yeah. And it's just like... Or even walk in... And, you know, Batman's like, Gotham needs you.
Yeah, the world needs you. It doesn't matter. Like, okay, I don't know, because there's a part of me that's like, well, it would be really cool if Bruce Wayne walks in to the Daily Planet, right in the Daily Planet. Yeah, the Daily Planet, and is like, hey, Clark, or should I say Supes, or something like that, you know, just call him, not Superman, but just call him something. And, like, just have that, like, yeah, or like just, ooh, I know who you are. Just one of those, like...
Yeah. Dude, that'd be so awesome. And like, be like, he sits down across from him, and he goes, and he's just like, hey, Clark. And he goes, hey, Bruce. And he goes, Clark, you want to fly over to, you want to take a flight right over to Gotham? There's something important I need to show you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just, like, to show you who he is without saying who you are, you know?
I just think,
God, that'd be so good.
Yeah, and especially with Batman being, you know, the great detective, and just to have him essentially just be like him look at Clark Kent and be like, you're Superman. And just, like, and for Clark just to have that, like, what? How do you know this? Would be amazing. And I think that would have to bring Bruce Wayne back, and that would mean Christian Bale. And I don't have a problem with that. I just think that with the way that The Dark Knight Rises left off with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, spoiler, if you haven't fucking seen the movie yet, I don't know what's wrong with you. But, you know, with him potentially taking over as Batman, it would be cool. Even if it was, again, just Batman, and if it was just Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the Batman suit, it just, like, you know, just the two... They don't even have to say anything. They could just be, like, on the top of a building. Like...
And looking at each other.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't even... Okay, I'll even take it even farther. It doesn't even have to be Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It just needs to be freaking Batman standing on the rooftop. Where, you know, Superman's, like, standing there looking over the city. And all of a sudden, you just hear, like, a... and he turns around, and there's Batman. And then end it. And then I pee my pants, and the world rejoices. Like, that's all need to do. That's all they need to do, and they're not going to do it because they don't have their act together, and it makes me so mad. Because it's like, hire me. Do you not hear the words that I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, it seems so easy. Put somebody in the bat suit. Don't even show the front. Don't even show his face.
Just need to...
just show the cowl, yeah. and then you just see their faces turning towards each other, and they both jump off the roof together. Yeah.
You don't even need like that. They even like that would be cool, but like I'm saying, you don't even need that much. Like just Superman, like an over the shoulder shot looking behind him, and all you see is the silhouette of Batman in the moonlight on a building.
Or even this, even this, Superman on a top of a building, and all of a sudden you see the bat signal come up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh man,
you don't even need Batman. Just use the bat signal.
They just need to do something, and they just don't have the grants. You know, they just don't see the big picture, and that is what sucks.
People have been calling for it for so long, and they even put it they even teased us in the movie with Will Smith.
Yeah, with the Batman Superman poster. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing that and everyone being like, is that a sign?
Like, oh my God, it's happening!
Are we finally going to get it? Man, we could talk about this all day. It's such a shame. Like, I don't understand. And like you said, like, they've done so well with the franchises that they do have. Like, you know, Batman has done phenomenal. Harry Potter did great. I don't know what the problem is. I think it might, like I said before, it may be the other members of the Justice League that are bringing the Justice League down. The world cares about Batman. The world cares about Superman. Time and time again, it's been proven that no one cares about Wonder Woman, unfortunately. Like, I'm sure she has fans out there somewhere. They keep trying to give her a TV show. It keeps not happening.
Okay, but here's the thing is that nobody cares about Black Widow. Nobody cares about fucking Fruity Guy with his arrow.
And that's why they haven't had their own movie yet.
Right, so you don't need to... Don't give them a new movie yet. Don't give Flash a new movie. Put them into, you know, like if you have to make a financial decision, then bank on Batman and Superman and then introduce these characters in the Justice League movie without their own tie-ins. See how it does. And then when the demand is there, that's the whole thing, is that Warner Brothers, I think, is scared to do it. I think they're really scared. Like, they're like, what if it isn't a big payoff like Marvel's characters have been?
It will be. It's
I know, but it's like it will it's just...
be. It may not be what they want it to be, but I mean, like, they just need to do something. I don't know. They need to make another Green Lantern movie, and they need to
do it right this time.
And I mean, do like what they did with The Incredible Hulk. Ignore that the first one ever happened.
Yeah, just redo it.
Yeah, I mean. Keep if they want to keep Ryan Reynolds again. I don't think he was a bad choice. I think the writing was a bad choice. I don't think he did anything wrong. Keep him.
The CG was a bad choice, so get rid of the CG.
Yeah, and just keep him. I mean, you can
keep him on Earth. Keep him on Earth.
Yeah, you know, and let him deal with
tone down the story. Have him like he didn't even go to like he wasn't even fighting a couple like I guess he did. He fought like a couple bad guys, but like. It just didn't. We could talk about it forever.
Yeah,
we could go on. But
yeah, I mean, and maybe in his movie is, and you know, what I think they need to do is, I think they need to do. You know, we're going to see Superman this year, and they've alluded to maybe we'll see Batman in it. Probably not, but that would be awesome. So what they need to do is that they need to show Batman. They need to go refilm it. They need to film it right now. Like what I hope they're listening. They need to, what we said, they need to do it. Put it at the end. And then work on a Batman Superman movie. Meanwhile, make a new Flash, not a Flash movie, make a Green Lantern movie, introduce Flash, introduce Martian Manhunter, introduce any other secondary characters. They don't have
to. Start doing it now.
Because
yeah,
that's what
start
they.
Laying the groundwork.
Because that's what they did in Hulk, or The Incredible Hulk. We saw Green Arrow. Not Green Arrow. God damn it. I'll get this right. Hawkeye. In Iron Man 2, we saw Black Widow. You know, so they need to do the same thing. We need a Batman Superman movie now, and maybe that's where we meet up with Wonder Woman, or the Martian Manhunter in that case too. you know, and then the Green Lantern movie, we, you know, that's what they need to do. Because they can't do, for whatever reason, they can't do it if they gave everyone their own individual movies. So they just need to team up on movies is what they need to do. And then bring them all together. Like, Batman and Superman are like, hey, we have a team. And Green Lantern and Flash are like, hey, that's cool, we have a team too. Let's just partner up. Oh, hey, look, there's a chick. And there's a dude who lives in the sea.
I don't know how well they're going to do Aquaman.
Exactly. Like,
yeah, and so I think you're right, and I agree, and let's just see it happen. Make it happen, Warner Brothers.
Yeah, just look at what Marvel has done and just try to copy it the best you can. Like,
yeah, we're not going to be mad at you as fans because you copied a formula. We're going to applaud you because you actually are doing it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't, I mean, don't make the same movie, but follow their outline. Like, take what they did. Work on your characters and make them, like, personable.
Yeah.
And then just get them all together already. It's ridiculous.
For real. So, as you can see, we have a lot of passion on this subject. And on that note, we're going to call it on that because we could go on and on and it's just going to get a little repetitive. So,
yeah.
That was the rant. DC, get your act together. And that's our show.
And hire us if anyone out there is listening. Because we obviously know what we're talking about.
Exactly. I mean, fans know best, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't just put me in a room and I'll just spitball these ideas. You pay me a couple grand and we'll call it a day.
Well, maybe a few hundred grand.
Well,
then we'll call it a day.
You work cheap at first and they bring you back.
That's true. So that is our show. We went on a roll and look at how far we went. We sang and we danced. We made lots of friends and now it's time to end. So Doug will go on his way, and then I'll say, oh, hey, that our show was cool. It's episode 14. Now I got nothing to say. Because it rhymed with hey.
No, I got it.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.